Henry comes online. Henry, if not, it's recording on there too now.
Okay. Uh-huh. Maybe I'll just pick up my phone and we'll play. Easy one. I don't ask for a topic. This way I can swim with it a little bit. Both in the past Shabbos, the Kriyat Sefer, as well as the coming Shabbos, we find several examples of a Shvua. Regarding Avraham Avinu and Eliezer, we know that Avraham Avinu had to find a suitable wife for Yitzchak, and therefore he empowered Eliezer to go ahead and to do so. Obviously, this was all Bidei Shamayim. In order to see to it that Eliezer will fulfill that task appropriately, so Avraham Avinu insisted that a shvur be taken. Vashviacha v'ashem v'lokei ha-shamayim v'lokei ha-aret. So those two words at the very beginning of the pasuk, Vashviacha v'ashem, are quite remarkable. If you look, for example, right, in the Mishnah and Shuas and Daf Chav Tesma days, the next Mishnah in Shuas and Daflam and Amar Aleph, even though they're back-to-back, but they're two very different Mishnayos, in fact, two very different Prakim. Chav Tes Modeis is the very end of Shuas Bitui, Shuas Shayim. And the Shuas Bitui is an example of a Shuas that a person takes on his own volition. A person makes a Shuas that I will do something, I won't do something, I did something in the past, I did not do so. Those are examples of a shvuah bitul. The person makes a shvuah, he will eat, he won't eat, he did eat, he didn't eat. That's the concept of a shvuah bitul. How do you make such a shvuah? A person has to take the shvuah himself. And that can be done in one of two ways. Either literally, a person articulates each and every word of the shvuah. That's perhaps the most simple case. A person says, for example, shvuah shlo ochal ki kazeh, or someone else can make a shvua, and I can answer amen to that shvua. Amen, the Mishnah tells us, is kemos yishua mitiv dami. It's as though that you have articulated the word yourself. And that's exactly what the Rambam writes, perbeis l'macha aleph, atoka shvua. When it comes to tipul shvua, bitui, articulate the shvua, or else you can answer amen in response to someone else's shvua. And if someone were to ask you, what is the thrust, what is the essence of aniyat amen? Amin is considered to be kamot bishumi pevdami. It's as though you have actually recited the words yourself. I'll give you the example. Very unclear in the Gemara in Shulis, in the Gemara in Nedarim, that what exactly is the role of a Shem Hashem when it comes to a Shua. In order to make a Shua, do I have to invoke Shem Shamayim? Is it enough simply to say Shua Shua Ochal Kikarzen? So one view, for example, is the Rambam. The Rambam writes that there is an Isser Shua, even if you don't mention the Shem Hashem at all. But in order to have the full-blown Shua, meaning that if I breach the Shua, I, for example, get the onus, the punishment of Malchus Min HaTorah, you require a Shem. So if I make a Shua, the Shem Hashem, that I will not eat, and then I eat, in such a case, there's Malchus Daresa. The Rambam Shita is for Malchus to require a Shem, but there's an Isser Shua even without. Now that fits in very well with the Rambam's general approach, because if I were to ask you, what exactly is the pasuk of Shvuas Bitui? You know, there are many different sukkim in Chumash that seem to refer to a person who takes upon himself an oath, or a person swears. Exactly what pasuk is referring to which Shvuas? That's very unclear. That's in the focus in the Gemara Shvuas and the Chasma Beis to the Shonos, according to Rabbi Yochanan, Yosef Rabin, Am Rabbi Yochanan, Yosef Rab Dimi, Rabbi Yochanan, which pasuk is referring to which shvua? You can have shvuas in the affirmative, in the negative, past, future. So what pasuk exactly refers to each and every shvua? You know, Rashi and that Gemara and shvuas and that pasuk, right? And what exactly is the difference? After all, any type of shvua is forbidden. Does it really matter whether it's this pasuk or whether it's that pasuk? So that's where Rashi writes the differences when it comes to hasra. But you know, in order for a person to be chayv malchus and misa, the person has to be forewarned. And how exactly do you give hasra? Very unclear. You go through all the sugyas hashas, very unclear how to give hasra. But what an interesting ramakamos is this Rashi and Shulas and Dafaf, where Rashi says, apparently, you have to mention the pasuk. Because Rashi writes, what difference does it really make whether a Shavuot Bitul L'Sha'avar is this Pasuk or that Pasuk? Rashi says, the difference is, Hatzra. You see a person is about to do that. You say to him that, you know, if you do so, you're going to violate this particular Pasuk. But that, no doubt, is a great Shiddush, because nowhere in the Gemara does it say that when you give Hatzra, you have to identify the particular Pasuk. In fact, the Rambam seems to have a very broad, a very general Hatzra. All you have to do is tell the person what you're doing is wrong, prosh or atafad over there. And you have to mention what the effect of that will be. You tell a person it's not right to do that. He thinks it's a minhag. No, it's not a minhag. You're chayav nisa. No, so you have to tell him what the repercussion will be. But the Rambam writes, you don't have to mention any detail about a particular pasuk. But that is the view of Rashi in Maseches Shavuot. It's interesting. When it comes, for example, to Shavuot Bitul, the Rambam writes, the iser, both when it comes to a Shavuot in the past, a Shavuot in the future, is lo si shavu b'shnila shaket. You understand very well that that's the pasuk. The Rambam requires a shame. That's the pasuk. Lo si shavu b'shnila shaket. So the Rambam writes that you require a shame to get the onus of Malkus for violating your Shavuot. The Rambam explains, you make a Shavuot, and you use the shame. And I answer, amen. That I accept upon myself that Shavuot as well. And I break that Shavuot. I will get Malkus d'oraisa for making a Shavuot invoking Shem Hashem. You know, I'll turn to you and say that I didn't mention the Shem Hashem at all. But you know, all I did was answer, amen. No, the answer is amen. Amen is Kamotzi Shumi Tivdam. It's as though that you have articulated, you have enunciated the Shavuot yourself. That's the thrust of Aniyas Amin. There's a similar, not identical Rambam, but a similar Rambam, Perakalas Alokha Yid Alas and Hokus Brachos, where the Rambam writes a similar distinction when it comes to many, many mitzvot that we perform. We're all obligated in Kiddush. So, Friday night, one person made Kiddush. How are you Yosei? Well, the Rambam writes, if you listen attentively in Yosei, that's called Shomei Ka'onim. But if you answer Amin, the Rambam writes, Kol Hona Amen Harehu Kimavarech. It's as though that you have recited this Kiddush yourself, a preference to answering Amen, as opposed to simply sitting by silently and having mind to be Yotze. You will be Yotze even without Anias Amen, but the Rambam writes it's not considered to be Kimavarech. So even in Hilchos Brachos, the Rambam has this fundamental distinction between the ability to be Yotze as opposed to Anias Amen. The Rambam writes it's not come to Dinei Shavuot. That Amen very literally is considered to be Kamotzi Shavuot Mitivdam. So when it comes to a typical discretionary Shavuot Bitui, I can utter the Shavuot myself, or I can answer Amen to your Shavuot. Okay, that's the Mishnah, Shavuot Chafes Medem. You come to the next Mishnah, Shavuot Chaf Lamed, Amar Aleph, and here the Mishnah is dealing with a different type of Shavuot. That's a Shavuot which is called a Shavuot Ha'Eidus. Let's assume, for example, that I have a particular din Torah, and I know that you have relevant testimony. So it's not simply that I can request that you come to Beis Din and testify on my behalf, but I can demand, I can subpoena you, I can insist that you do so. And if you simply go ahead and say, you know, Ein ani yodei alecha eidus, what are you talking about? I have no relevant information at all. I can insist that you make that representation in Bezdin. And if indeed you make that representation, Ein ani yodei alecha eidus, and you are lying, that's not merely a Shavuot Bitui, but that is a Shavuot Ha'eidus. And there are different halachos between a Shavuot Ha'eidus as opposed to a Shavuot Bitui. Almost the difference in English between lying and perjury. Well, it's not just simply that you lied. I said, I did eat and I didn't eat. No, but here, in the context of Eidus, this is a very different type of Shavuot with different onshin. Shavuot Ha'eidus. And the Mishnah tells us that I have a right to impose a Shavuot Ha'eidus. Not merely request a Shavuot Ha'eidus. I can impose a Shavuot Ha'eidus. Why exactly is that true? You know, Tosfos explains above a Kamadaf Nuzov. Maybe the difference is very simply this, that let's assume, for example, I really want you to make a Shavuot. Now, I see that your eating habits are really very unhealthy. So therefore, I'm encouraging you to make a Shavuot that you're going to eat appropriately, eat healthful food. Good, so in such a case, can I insist? I can't insist. Now, I can pressure you, I can badger you, I can request. But ultimately, it's discretionary. That's a Shavuot Bitui. When it comes to Eidus, the Torah is over. Imo Yagid, V'Natav Omer. The reason you have to testify is not because I'm requesting that you do so. The Torah insists there's an Isser of Hayodeh Eidus L'Chavero V'Eino Meidlo. Now, this is not discretionary. No, this is compulsory. The Torah says you have to do so. So therefore, I can insist, I can impose a shul, not just simply I can request a shul. That's a fascinating technical difference between a shul's bitui and a shul's eidus. In a word, that a shul's bitui is discretionary, and therefore I can encourage, I can request, but I cannot insist. When it comes to shul's eidus, that is not true. That is mandatory, and therefore I can impose a shul upon you. That is the concept of mushpa mipi acherim, not just simply mushpa mipi asma. So what's fascinating is when you have this background in mind, you understand two different shua, different ways of making a shua, in a position of shua, discretionary shua. So now when you look back at the shuas that you find in Sefer Bereishis, so for example, Avraham Avinu and Eliezer, Avraham Avinu is absolutely certain that Eliezer was going to fulfill, right, his shlichus, to carry out his message. So, v'ashpiacha, v'ashem elokei ha'shem elokei ha'aretz, v'ashpiacha. Ashbiacha is an imposition of a shua, not simply a request. Avraham Avinu turns to Avraham Eliezer and says, please, not please. No, v'ashpiacha. I insist. This coming Shabbos is Kriyas HaTorah, the Mechiras HaBakorah. Yaakov, Esav, all of a sudden, Hishovali, a request of Yaakov that Esav make Hishua, and the response is Vayishavalo, and that Shua is taken. When it comes, for example, later in Chumash, that Yaakov even wants to make certain he will not be buried in Mitzrayim, so he tells Yosef HaTzadik, Hishovali, please make a shvua to that effect, and vayishavalo. And Yosef acquiesces again, a request. If you look, for example, in Perek Beis of Shmuel Aleph, so there again, you find Shlomo HaMelech Shimi ben Gera, he was Marv Malchus, he went against the instruction of the Melech, and he was challenged, Halo, Hishvaticha, Bashem. Didn't he impose a shvua upon you? Not to go ahead and to leave the city in imposition of a shua. Or a Mishnah in Yuma, Paragalat Mishnah, that the Kohen Gadol is Avon Yom HaKippurim, the Zikne Kohuna want to make sure that the Kohen Gadol is not going to deviate from the appropriate Seder Avoda, and therefore Mashbia Ani Alecha, we insist that you make a shua. So sometimes you find a request of a shua, and sometimes you find insistence of this shua. So the Nesiyah points out, apparently you see as follows, that difference between the shua's bitui and the shua's eidus is not just a technical one of those two shua's, but represents models, and that is as follows. Whenever something is discretionary, you cannot impose a shua. But whenever the Torah creates a shibud, a hischaivus, the Torah says that you must, not you may, you must, then there's a concept of Mushlamipi Acherin. The relationship of the Adon and the Eved is the Adon has the right to mandate. And the Eved Al-Kiddin does not have the wiggle room to say no. And therefore, an Adon can enforce Yeshua, as Avraham Avinu did to Eliezer. When you perform the Avodah Yom HaKippurim, the Torah insists that you have to do so, consistent with the charge of the Zikne Koruna. In which case, a shua is imposed. The Torah tells us from Tassim Alach HaMelech that a Melech has the right, the authority of imposition, Morid HaMalchus, and therefore the Melech can impose a shua upon you. So this is a broad model, that whenever you have discretion, then I can request a shua, but if the Torah tells us you really don't have a choice, the Torah is telling us that this is what we insist that you do, so in such a case, then you have the second model of Mushta Miti Achev. And now you have the view of Rabbeinu Tam. As I mentioned, it's very unclear in the Gemara when a shame is necessary and you make a shvur. So we mentioned one view, the Rambam Shita, there's an Iter shvur, even if a person takes a shvur without mentioning at all, a shame Hashem. But in order to have the full chiyuv of karban and malchus, in such a case, then you need a shem Hashem. The pasuk is also shavu b'shmi l'shavim. Other rishonim disagree and maintain that really is not the distinction. Sometimes yes, sometimes no, but it's not whether it is considered to be malchus or whether it's an iser shvuah, but rather other factors. So I think it's not right the following kiddush, that when a person makes the shvuah himself, you don't have to invoke shem shamayim. But whenever you have that category too of mushvamiti acherim, where shvuah is imposed, then you have to invoke the shem Hashem. That's Rabbi Natan Shita. That's the Ram in the very first daf in the Sechus Nedarim Adam Deis Amar Aleph. The Ram quotes this view of Rabbi Natan. Mushvamiti atma does not require a shem. Mushvamiti acherim requires a shem. Why would that be true? Well, maybe simply because of the following: you're imposing a shvuah. You're imposing a shvuah. By what right do you have to insist that I make a shvuah? The answer is, what right do I have? The Torah insists that this is what you must do. So therefore, I invoke the Shem Shamayim in the sense that, but this is not something that is discretionary. Kadosh Baruch Hu insists that this is what you have to do. You have to listen to the Melech. You have to perform the vote in this particular way. The Eved is bound to his Adam. And therefore, I can invoke the shvuah. But that imposition is only by virtue of the authority invested in me, and therefore you have to mention the Shem Hashem when you go ahead and make that shvuah. That's the chiddush of Rabbi Natan. That mushvami pi atzmo does not require a shem, mushvami pi acherim does. And when you go back, if I can credit the view, can you suk you? No, so therefore Avraham Avinu has in Vashpiacha, Vashem, Elokei Hashemayim Elokei Haaretz, Avraham Avinu invokes Shem Shamayim, that's Moshe Tiachim. This coming Shabbos is Kriya Satorah. Yaakov Esav, Kishavali, Vayishavalo, no mention of Hashem Hashem. When it comes to that Mishnah Yuma, Aleph Hei, Mashpia Alecha, B'mi Sheshikin Shmo, Vayishazeh, the Mishnah is so dramatic, invoking the Shem Hashem. Shlomo Melech, Shemegera, Halo, Hishpaticha, Vashem. Yaakov and Yosef, Kishavali, no mention of a Shem Hashem. Whenever the Torah gives us a malo, a person who makes a shua himself, it doesn't mention anything about a Shem Hashem. Whenever the Torah references the imposition of a shua, mushmi piacherim, so there is a shem. It's really the Tam Shita. It just stems from the psukim. But when do you find the Shem Hashem when it comes to the posuk? And when do you not? The beautiful Shita of Rabbi Natan, number one, the difference between Moshe Piyasma, Moshe Piyachera, number two, when is it that one has to invoke Shem Shamayim? So the Ram quotes this beautiful sheet of Rabbi Natan, the Dhamma of Abraham and Aleph, and writes, but it cannot be. Because the whole source of invoking a Shem when it comes to a Shvuah is the Parsha of Sotah. But here you have a woman who there was keenly and fierce. She was forewarned, right, not to seclude herself with this individual, and there are edim that she in fact did. There's keenly and fierce. So therefore, now she is in the state of a suffix sota. That already gives rise to the possibility that she was an ashes ish. She's innocent. And therefore, she is forbidden to her husband, right, until we go ahead and sort out, right, these facts. And she has the right to go ahead and to undergo the entire process of sota in order to demonstrate her innocence. And part of that is she has to take a shvuah that is not true, that she is innocent of that charge of being an ashes ish, shezinsa. And in that context, the Torah mentions the shame. And yet, she responds by answering amen. And amen, we just got through saying, is not mushmini pi achim. Amen, kamotzi shumi pivdami. When it comes to shvuah's bituri, where I cannot impose a shvuah, but a person has to make the shvuah himself. So either he can state each and every word of the shvuah, or he can answer amen. Oh, so that's the kasha of the Ram against Rabbi Natan. You know, it's beautiful in terms of the psukim. Okay, I understand, but it's against everything. Now that how can that be? The whole source of Shem B'Shvua is Sota. Sota is Anias Amen. Amen is Mushmiti Atmo. And if that is true, so how can you argue that we derive from there that Azkaras Hashem is only necessary when it comes to Mushpamiti Acher? So just the following. And it points out, this is also what you find in the Briskarav. The Briskarav, in his work on the Rambam, Kedushi HaGriv al Rambam, in the back there's a series of letters on Daf Pei Aleph. You find this at length. And that's as follows. When you look in the entire parsha of Sotah, the beginning of Chumash B'Midbar, you find something a little bit unusual. There's like a dual dynamic. There is the role of the woman, there's also the role of the Kohen. This is kind of like a dialogue, no? The woman responds and participates, the Kohen participates. And what exactly is the role of each? And here you find the following, that look, it's necessary for the woman to proclaim her innocence. But before she does so, and before she makes that shvuah, the Kohen tells you, look, this is how things are going to play out. This is what's going to happen. That if you are really innocent, you will be vindicated. But recognize the stakes are pretty high. Because if indeed this is the case, but look, you were guilty of kinui and tira, now undeniably, no? There are edim that say that even though you were forward, you secluded yourself. And if indeed it is true that an act of this occurred, so the result is going to be calamitous. So are you sure you want to go to the next step? Do you realize right, what the stakes are, what indeed will happen? And therefore the woman is called upon to go in to respond, to accept, right, the terms that the Kohen lays out. And therefore, there's a dual response in the Parsha of Sotah. There is her Shvua, but there is a Shvua HaKohen. There is her representation, her assertion that she is innocent. That's her Shvua. But also, she accepts, right, that which the Kohen states. And in fact, if you look carefully in the Parsha delineates and distinguishes between them. So you have the Shvua Ta'isha, a Shvua, but you also have the Allah of a Kohen. And therefore, the woman is called upon to go in to respond in a twofold fashion. That number one, in Shvua that she is exempt. Number two, in acceptance of the Shvua Ta'kohen. Amen works in different ways. Amen sometimes is bo shvur. Sometimes amen is kamotzi shumit yibdani. It's I myself taking a shvur. That's true. You see it from shvur speed to it. But amen also has a different meaning as well. Amen is also kabbalah. Amen is in acceptance. I affirm. I accept. You can have an amen which is acceptance, an amen which represents affirmation. Amen has more than one role. In fact, it's interesting, when you look in the Rambam in Peres Beis Halachalos Zuchushuas, the Rambam explains, Amen is Kamoti Shumitivdani. When you look in the very same Peres Beis Halachalos, the Kochos Nadarim, the Rambam says, a person makes a neder, and if I want to join that neder, I can answer Amen, because Amen is an acceptance. I also accept that neder. It's interesting why the Rambam in Kochos Nadarim describes Amen as Kabbalah Zvarim, and why the Rambam in Hilchos Shvuot describes Amen as Kamoti Shvuah Dipivdami. So as you pointed out, you can understand very well why that's true. Because all you have to do when it comes to Nedra is accept. For the Nisr Nedra, by Achel. But as you mentioned, when it comes to a Shvuah, you have to utilize the Shem Hashem. So when you make a Shvuah and I answer Amen, if I'm going to get Malkus for breaking that Shvuah because Lo Tisho B'Shmi L'Shoker, it's not enough that I accepted the Shvuah. There the Amen has to be an act of articulation of the Shvuah. So that's why the Rambam writes that Amen in Hilchos Shvuah is Kamoti Shumitivdami, Amen in Hilchos Adam is considered to be a form of a Kabbalah Zvarim, a Kabbalah Zvarim. So it's pretty fascinating that when it comes to the Parsha of Sotah, there's a dual dynamic. On the one hand, the woman is taking the Shvuah. On the other hand, she is responding to the Shvuah of the Kohen. And therefore, Sota is, on the one hand, Mushrimi Atmo, but it's also Mushrimi Acherim of the Shvua of the Kohen. In which case, the view of Rabbi Natan is as follows, that, of course, in the Parsha of Sota you absolutely find that it's necessary to have a Shem Hashem. But why? Why is that true? Why is this who requires Shem Hashem? I would argue exactly this point. According to the time, you go for all the psukim in the Sefer Bereishis. So you find that the Torah always insists on Hashem if it's Mishpa, if Yachem. And if it's Mishpa, Yachem, Yishavli, Yishavala, you never find that the Shem Hashem is mentioned at all. That was not coincidental. That's because the Shem Hashem is only necessary when it comes to Mishpa, Yachem, Yachem. That's how Rabbeinu Tam understood the parsha of Sota. And that is, of course, the Shem Hashem is found in the parsha of Sota. But that is driven by the Mushmeh Piacherim of the Shvuah of the Kohen, not by the Shvuah that she herself takes, because you never find that Mushmeh Piacherim requires a Shem Hashem. And therefore, yes, that's the source of Shvuah, but it is rooted in that element of Mushnatiyachem, the Shvuah of the Kohen. So it's kind of fascinating. Now, you look in the parsha of Sota, you have two different dynamics. The Shvuah of the woman, the Shvuah of the Kohen, she takes, she responds. The invocation of Shem Hashem, but according to the Tam, that's only because of the Shvuah of the Kohen, Mushnatiyachem, but not a Zelta of her Shvuah. Where do you see kind of this is true, that the woman is called to have a dual response, no? And one is Moshua, and one is Kabbalah Sivarim, and that's what's included in the Parsha of Sota. You know, so the answer is exactly this, that the Kohen goes ahead and charges the woman. The Pasuk says, V'amra Isha, Amen, Amen. Yeah, it says, Amen, Amen. Now, the woman stutters, it says, Amen, Amen. Now, yeah, there are two Dine Amen. Two Dine Amen in the Parsha. Now, it could be more explicit. Now, that there's an Amen which is both Shvuah, but there's an Amen which is both Kabbalah, Zivayin. Yeah, and that really doesn't sound right. It's the secret. That's the vocation of the Shem Hashem for the second half of the Parsha of Sota. And how consistent then it is, yeah, with every Shvuah and Chumash Bereishis, where that you shovel and you shovel out, as opposed to cases that you don't. That was amazing. That even though, yes, these are examples of Shvuahs which are Kodemat and Torah, but nonetheless it reflects like what we know to be so true lala in terms of the differences between right, a Shvuah Bitui as opposed to a case of Shvuahs at the very beginning right, of the Parsha, it's necessary for Avraham Avinu to purchase a makom kfura for Sarah Imenu. And what's fascinating is if you look in many Rishonim, that was a significant Nisayon. You know, the Mishnah tells us in Perakei and the Sefer Tavos, Asar Nisyonos Nisnasa Avraham Avinu V'Amar Dekula. Avraham Avinu was tested 10 times, and Avraham Avinu was able to pass every single challenge. You know, if you look, for example, at Rashi and that Mishnah Perakei Avos and the Rambam, they have a very different list because the Mishnah doesn't delineate each and every Nisayon. How you get to the number 10 is a very fundamental machlokas or shonim, but one thing is clear, right? The Rambam, Rashi, they'll disagree in kind of how you get there. But if I were to ask you, what is the ultimate Nisayon? What is the 10th Nisayon? Both Rashi and the Rambam will answer the Kedas Yitzchak, When a person is able to emerge, right, and be able to pass that challenge, now kasna zinchas yechidcha. So, that's it. Now, what could the request of a person beyond, right, that sense of sacrifice? So, even though they'll disagree about kind of the earlier nisyanos of Avraham Avinu, but you know, number 10, the ultimate nisyan is. What's surprising is that when you look in other Rishonim, that's not true. If you look at Rabbeinu Yonah, right, and that Mishnah, and Avos in Perakei, you look at the Pirush of the Rashbam, right, the very Shittas in Rishonim, it's based on a Midrash Tanhuma, based on a Midrash Rabbah as well. The Akedah was the 9th Nisayon. The 9th Nisayon. Not the ultimate Nisayon. And the ultimate Nisayon was securing the Makam Kfura for Sarimim. That was the ultimate Nisayon. That here, Kadosh Baruch Hu said, Lazarach HaNatati, this is yours. And you know what? You have to go ahead and pay for something which is yours in order to get the squatter right, to leave, right? You know, I would say, yeah, annoying. It's like annoying. You know, I buy a building and all of a sudden someone is squatting, so I have to kind of work out a deal to get him out, to evict him. But, like, that is the ultimate Nisayon. In English, there's a word for that. Now the penultimate Nisayon. Now, Akedat Yitzchak is the second to last. Now, the penultimate Nisayon. That's surprising. Now, another Kadosh Baruch Hu tests Avraham Avinu with the ultimate Nisayon and says, okay, fine, you know, but there's one more. But let's see if you can kind of pass this one now. And this one is, yeah, the annoyance of paying for something that is kind of rightfully yours. And no doubt it begs the question that why exactly? Why exactly was anything more necessary? What do you glean from this Nisayon above and beyond that of Akedat Yitzchak? You know, it's reminiscent of the Gemara in Avodah Zarah, Daf Yud-Ches, Amud Aleph, Rabbi Hananya ben Sharja, which the Gemara describes with Makil Kehilo Sudolos Berabi. Rabbi Hananya ben Sharja, the Mesirat Nefesh was incredible. No, a time of persecution, Ishaf Hashmad, and Rabbi Hananya ben Sharja went from community to community, disseminating the Torah Hashem. And his Rebbe, Rabbi Yosef ben Kisma, says that, you know what, you know what your destiny is going to be. You're going to get caught, you're going to be punished, you're going to be killed, you're going to be burned, but the Sefer Torah you have with you, and kahava. That Rabbi Hananya ben Sharja was killed in that particular fashion. So the Gemara depicts that Rabbi Hananya ben Sharja went to his Rebbe Osman Kisra and says, Ma ani l'chaye olam haba. That what is exactly my schar in olam haba? Well, so Rabbi Osman Kisra asked a very unusual question. Who am I, sabali acha? Did you ever do anything special? No? Like, ever do anything special? This is after the whole discussion about Makel Kilos Gadol for Rabin. So, Rabbi Hananya ben Sharja says, yes, the Tamachas, Nishal for Mo's Purim and Mo's Tzedakah, and Nasati La'anim. You know, once, I had some of my funds, right, and they were close to most of Tzedakah, and somehow they became intermingled, and you know what I did? I gave all of that to Tzedakah. Good. So Rabbi Yossi ben Kisma responds and says, if only I would have such a share in Olam Haba that you Be'ezer Hashem be zochet. So it sounds so odd to know that, you know, Makel Kivos Gedolos Rabbi, Kol Ma'aseh Bal Yarcha. The answer is something that sounds quite mundane relative to Makel Kivos Gedolos, and somehow that's the carry of the day. Like that's the That was it. You know, there is a Rambam in the Pirush Mishnah, in the Tzachet Matos, in the Terek Gimel Mishnah Tezayin, that is quite bothered by that Gemara. And I'm like, what exactly does that mean? Kumaisa Baliyacha. Not so simple. You know, someone is Matos, Kidos, Gadolos, Rabbin. Like, what more? What more could you ask of? And somehow, how is that more revealing? I've had that shaila several times. No? For a person will tell me, you know what? They had Sibur money, right, in their house. All of a sudden, it got mixed with their private funds, and I told them, oh, Gemara Avodah Zarah, Daf Yud Ches, give it all to Tzedakah, that will be a great, great basis of start. The Shail of Makel, Kilo, Kilo, Tzoravim, like, you know, that's like, you know, like, that's Helig, and all those are heavenly Shailas. No, the Shail is simply of what happens when your coin gets mixed up with another coin. You know, somehow you can kind of deal with it. You can deal with it. Why exactly is that true? So I would suggest two possibilities, both of which I think are essential to appreciate the Nisyonos of Avraham Avinu. Number one really is as follows. You know, there is a Medrash, which is found in Ein Yaakov. I mentioned this earlier. Now, it's found in the introduction to Ein Yaakov, the Hakdamas HaKosi. And there, the Medrash debates, what is the Klal Gadol Batol? What is the Klal Gadol Batol? Now, if you had to choose like one thing, what exactly would it be? And we're familiar with the first two answers of the Medrash. Either it's, you know, the mysterious Nefesh of Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, Kabbalah Tamalchus Shemayim, or the other possibility of Yahavta Bereach HaTamocha, yes. And then the Medrash concludes and quotes the Shita of Shimon ben Pazi, and the Mishnah actually says, V'halacha Kamosa, as usual, the Medrash and that's the fact, Halacha Kamosa, the Klal Gadol B'Torah is offer the karma tabit. No? Offer the karma tabit. It's somewhat unusual. No, that is the cloud level, but it's the karma tabit. But why exactly is that? So I think one of the ways of understanding this midrash simply is that, you know, that yes, it's true, there are heroic moments, no? There are heroic moments of Kiddushim Shemayim, which is embodied in that pasuk of Shema Yisrael. There are heroic moments of Asolat Havashal Zav V'Yahav Delareach HaKamocha, but those unusual windows, now, as telling as revealing as they are, that's not the secret to Avodas Hashem. The secret to Avodas Hashem is the day-in, day-out consistent Avodah. Consistency in the daily routine. That is the essence of Avodas Hashem. You know, it's almost like the Rambam, the Rambam writes, what does it mean to Kiddush Hashem? So it begins by telling us, you know, a person may face once in his life like a moment of heroism, no? Where you have the potential for massive, massive kiddushim. But then the Rambam continues, no, the real challenge is not that moment. The real challenge is day-to-day kiddushim shamayim. No, every encounter, every interaction, every business dealing, every opportunity, no, is a moment of kiddush Hashem and nechel Hashem. And, you know, sometimes in heroic moments, you know, there's an inertia, the general flow, people kind of rise to greatness, but it doesn't manifest itself consistently. And here I would suggest that that was part of the question Joseph and Kitson of it was. You know, this is a dire Shas Hashmad. And one could argue that the future of our ability to disseminate the Torah of Hashem is on the line. You know, this is a time where your back is against the wall. Yeah, you know, you rise to a moment of heroism. But Rav Ben Kisma said, you know, how consistent is that with your day-to-day avoda? Is this unusual, what you're doing now, because of dire straits? Or is this something which is fully consistent with who you are, with your character? Give me an example of something which is far, far less dramatic, something that no one would notice, something that no one would ever be aware of at all, and is the passion and commitment and consistency present even at that time of time. And now, Rabbi Hanan Shani responded, yeah, you know, there was a case once where the privacy of my own home, a couple coins, right, of tzedakah got mixed up with my own personal, no one would have known. There was no heroism, there was no parade, there was no pomp and ceremony. No one would have recorded in history that Rabbi Hanani ben Trajan preserved the Torah Hashem with the same commitment, the same passion, the same enthusiasm that accompanied. And here I would suggest on one level that was part of the challenge of the Akedah. You know, Kadosh Baruch Hu comes to you and says, Kachmez binchez yichicha sherahavta. You understand that, no, Kadosh Baruch Hu says, do kind of you march, no? And as difficult as it may seem, even the time of Akedah Yitzchak, no doubt that, you know what, this is like a heroic, historic, HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes to you and says that, you know what, history is on the line, this is what you have to do. Even lesser people could rise to that challenge. But you know what, the question is was that a klal or was that a yotzim in a klal? Was that only because of the passionate heroics of the moment that HaKadosh Baruch Hu turns to you and says, does this? What about something that was, relatively speaking, much more mundane, no? Where Kadosh Baruch Hu didn't come and tell you exactly do this or don't do that. You know what? Eretz Yisrael has promised it to be yours. Nasati, kfar nasati. And all of a sudden, your first encounter, securing a makam kula, and you have difficulty, no? All of a sudden, you have to pay for something that is rightfully personally yours. How do you respond? Does that rattle you? Do you respond differently to that than you did to the heroic stuff, Akedah Yitzchak? And therefore, even after the Akedah, need for another Nisayon in terms of, was that lesson of the Akedah internalized in terms of day-to-day, that which was, relatively speaking, so much more trite and mundane, but nonetheless, also a model to demonstrate that sense of consistency of the carbon topic. And here I would suggest a related possibility, because there's an amazing Rambam. The Rambam in Pirush Mishnayot, as I mentioned, at the end of the Sefer Matos, Perek Gimel, Mishnah Tezayin, where the Rambam writes as follows, that The Mishnah tells us that Ratzah HaKadosh Baruch Hu v'zakos es Yisrael, v'fichach hirba lehem Torah u'mitzvah. Torah u'mitzvah. So the Rambam is bothered by his simple question. You know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to give us abundant schar, and therefore he just piled on mitzvah after mitzvah after mitzvah. No. So the Rambam writes the following, you know, sometimes if some individual, you know, every mitzvah the next sword, you know? Every mitzvah they, you know, they'll put up a window, the theme of the shir is more mitzvot, more chumras, more, and they're the first one there. Now, like, because another opportunity to. Well, let's assume, for example, that Rambam described, this person is like struggling a little bit, you know? Not so easy for him to be able to fulfill all the mitzvot Hashem. He kind of turns to you and says, like, why are there tarya mitzvahs? Wouldn't it have been there enough to have, like, a handful of mitzvahs that I can kind of focus on? Taryag, and then says, no, that's how Kadosh Baruch Hu Zakos Es Yisrael, this is a great spus. And he's like, he turns to me and says, for you, it's a great spus, because kind of, okay, you're good at this, but, you know, for me, this is a great challenge. This is honestly a very great, this is the Rambam question. Now, what exactly do we mean that Ratzah HaKadosh Baruch Hu Zakos Es Yisrael, and the Fichach Hirbalahim, Torah Mitzvah? The Rambam writes something, like, incredibly amazing. The Rambam writes that, look, you can't be deficient in any one of the mitzvot Hashem. We have to observe all the mitzvot Hashem. But the Rambam writes that choose a mitzvah and call that mitzvah your own. Choose a mitzvah and perform that mitzvah lishma. And the Rambam writes, if you can do that, you're not deficient in anything, but there's a mitzvah that you can embrace and you will do so absolutely lishma. Absolutely lishma. The Rambam writes that that's a ticket to Olam Haba. Excellence in a particular mitzvah. But you have to do it out of a sense of passion and enthusiasm. There, it's not enough to do social olishma. Yes, we hope we social olishma balishma, the study and sasim dafnun, but here you have to embrace it with utmost and fullest sincerity. That's what the Rambam writes. The Torah says, look, you have to observe all the mitzvot, but pick something and, like, run with it. Run with it. No? You know, I was recently at Yisrael just giving a shirim to many talmidim, and I said to them, you know, imagine your parents come, they take you out, and you know, yeshiva food always isn't that great, and here you are, you know, you open up the menu. They're like two entrees, you know? They're two entrees. You know, you might respond and say, you know, I'm not particularly fond of this, I'm not particularly fond of that, you know, okay, you know. You open up the menu, there's 613 entrees, no? 613 entrees, no? You really, really think, look, there's nothing here for me. There's nothing you can enjoy. You know, Kadosh Baruch Hu gives you, well, the tire of this book, there's nothing here that could speak with me. You know, you know how vast Limanatol is. Limanatol encompasses every aspect of every vantage point of life. There's nothing here that you can just embrace and absolutely run with. Cannot be. No? That's what the Rambam says. The Ratzah HaKadosh Baruch Hu V'zakos Es Yisrael, V'fichach Hirbalahem, Torah Mitzvot. There has to be. No, you can't just walk away and say, you know, that this isn't my calling. You're good at this, but this is not something that I, you know, there's so many vast opportunities. It cannot be that will be your response. But that's what the Rambam writes. That's kind of amazing. You have to make sure to do so lishma. He always suggests the following. But, you know, a person is called upon to perform heroics. No? Akedat Yitzchak. Rabbi Hanani is in charge. No? It's a basis of unbelievable strength. Unbelievable strength. Not putting your life on the line, sacrificing a child, but it has to be done lishma. But it has to be done lishma. So how do you know that which Avraham Avinu did was lishma? How do you know that which Rabbi Chanan ben Chadian did was lishma? Right, well, that's who they were. I know that. I know they did lishma. But where do you see that this is true? I would suggest the indicator of the lishma is when the tzedakah money got mixed with my own personal funds. The indicator of lishma is that Avraham Avinu was as passionate about purchasing the stay up from as he was about the Akedah people. You know, if this was a heroic Shalom Yishma because the whole world was watching, that would have become very evident right in the next day. Not when no one was watching, and Avraham Avinu had no clue that this would be recorded, and this was not a historic moment whatsoever, but that consistency is not only the secret in terms of daily Avodas Hashem, but that's the greatest indicator of sincerity. And therefore, one more Mitzrayim was necessary. Now, that of purchasing the Seir from in order to validate, in order to elucidate, in order to illuminate the acts of Avraham Avinu in terms of Akedah Kitzva. And that was also true of Rabbi Chanan ben Chajim. When he told his Rebbe Yosef ben Kisma that relatively mundane example, it became so obvious then the confirmation in the mind of Yosef ben Kisma that he was Makil Kihilos Gadolos Barabim, Mashem Shemayim. And that was Chelki Achelki Garochayu Gorohim. That, I think, both responses are very, very important. We look for that consistency in terms of Avodas Hashem, and we look for that opportunity to be able to significantly serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu Lishma. And sometimes it's the little things that are most important in manifesting that consistency and manifesting the Asiyah Lishma. We all arise, you know, for great, great moments. But you know what? It's the consistent, that passionate Avodas Hashem that really is the Klal Gadol B'Torah. That, I think, is important to be able to internalize these nisyonos of Avraham Avinu. You know, even though, as I've often mentioned, we don't always look to Sefer Bereishis for mitzvos mugdaros, mitzvos ksuvos, there, tight mitzvos and emotion we've seen that. But in terms of our values and norms and ethics and emunah and bitachon and ikari emunah, now that's Sefer Bereishis teaches us worlds in terms of the appropriateness of how it is that we're considered to be in Eved Hashem. But quite an amazing Rambam. Take a look, Pirush Mishnayis, right? In Makos, Perek Gimel, Mishnah Tev Zayin, that's the meaning of the Rambam, right? Avratza HaKadosh Baruch Hu L'Zakos Es Yisrael, L'Sichas Hir Bal En Toru.
I think that was a good one.